May I thank your minister for the word of welcome. I wasn't expecting to be here tonight. I'm really a poor substitute for the Reverend Paul Foster, but he seems to have lost his voice for a little time. So I'm the stand-in, and we look to the Lord for his presence, for his blessing upon our own hearts as we turn to his word and speak briefly upon it. And then as I bring you just a short report concerning the work of LTBS, and then as your minister has said, you'll see the video. So we're turning first of all for our scripture reading to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and chapter 7. The seventh chapter of Revelation, and we'll commence reading at the ninth verse. Revelation chapter 7, and reading from verse 9, let us hear the word of the Lord. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God for ever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them on to living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Ending there at the final verse of the chapter, and knowing that the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word. For Christ's sake. Amen. Let's just bow briefly in a moment's prayer to seek the Lord. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, once again we draw nigh to thee in our worthy Savior's name. We rejoice that we come to the throne of grace, and we have the promise, we have the blessed assurance that there we will obtain mercy, and we will find grace to help in time of need. And as we come to thy word now, it is indeed a time of need. And we pray that the Holy Spirit himself, he who is the author of this word, will indeed open up the scriptures unto us and open up our understanding to the word of God. And we pray that thou wilt enable us to see much of the Lord Jesus himself, our Savior and our Redeemer, the one who has redeemed us to God by his own precious atoning blood. May this meeting be covered by the blood, and may this preacher know something of blood-bought liberty now as we turn to the scriptures of truth. We ask these things in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. The church in Asia Minor was beset by enemies without and enemies within. And we find in those circumstances that the Lord gives visions to his servant John, who in turn records those visions and sends them to the churches in Asia Minor for their encouragement in the midst of all of their trials and troubles and tribulations. One of the visions revealed the ultimate and final triumph of all missionary work, all missionary labor, all missionary endeavor. And we've been reading of it here in this seventh chapter of the book of the Revelation. And I want to just for a few moments think upon that theme of the final triumph of all gospel labor as Christ crucified is proclaimed. I draw your attention in particular to verses 9 and 10 of the chapter 7. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. The first thing I would draw your attention to simply is the great company that is spoken of here. We find that this company is described in those words of a great multitude that no man could number, vast, innumerable. And that tells us that when it comes to the last day, when time is no more, when time has run its course, there isn't going to be just a small group of those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, the very opposite will be the case. There will be a great multitude that no man could number. So that's saying to us then, in reality, that all gospel preaching, all missionary work, all missionary outreach will bring in consummate glory a vast multitude of souls out of the mass of lost humanity. And why will this be so? Well, let's recall that verse in Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 53. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And so here, by prophetic vision, John sees the final outcome, the final triumph, the final success of all true missionary work, a great multitude which no man can number. We might describe this great company really as cosmopolitan, because you'll notice the verse goes on to say, after the words, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne. It's saying to us that from every corner of the globe, from all nations, from over all the world, from the mass of humanity in all of its complexion, there will be this great number. And that promise that the Lord Jesus gave will be fulfilled ultimately and finally. That promise when he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, whatever they may be, shall not prevail against it. Truly, the seed of the woman shall conquer and bruise the head of the serpent. But you'll notice something further here about not only the company, this vast company, but notice the communion that they enjoy, that they experience. We have it stated very clearly that they are here at the end of verse 9, before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. They're standing before the throne. They're standing really before the face of the Lord. And when you think of that verse in the last chapter of the book of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4, the words, they shall see his face, which we often speak of and refer to as the beatific vision. What is the glory of heaven? Isn't it face-to-face communion with the Lord himself, when we shall be like him and we shall see him as he is? And here is this vast company, this great multitude, and they have white robes, speaking of the righteousness that they possess. Think of it this way. Each one in this vast multitude has heard the gospel of the grace of God in Christ. That gospel message that sets forth and proclaims a righteousness that can stand up to the examination of the eye of a thrice holy God. God's righteousness, the righteousness of God, provided in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here this vast company will join in praise to the Lord. They will do so perfectly confirmed in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, found with palms of praise and victory in their hands. And oh, think of it, what glory it will be to stand before the face of God in Christ with a soul that is perfected, a body that is perfected, with perfect, full assurance to commune and fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what will be the cry? Verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Because all glory, all praise must be given unto God and the Lamb. Oh, what a privilege to be a part of this vast company, a part of this great multitude of people. Hell-deserving sinners, but now robed in the white robes of pure and perfect and spotless righteousness. What glory that will be. And as we think of the labors that we engage in here, and sometimes we meet with discouragement, we meet with disappointment, we sometimes perhaps ask the question, at least to ourselves, if not to others, Are we laboring in vain? Are we toiling in vain? Perhaps we're not seeing the outcome that we expected. We're not, as it were, seeing the results that we would like to see and have. And somehow there can easily come that spirit of discouragement that can enter into our hearts. But then when we turn our hearts and our eyes to such verses as these that we have just been looking at here in Revelation chapter 7, then surely there is fresh encouragement to our souls to continue on and to labor on. And isn't that the confidence that we can have, that there will be that which will glorify His name as we continue to let the Bible speak, as we continue to preach the gospel, and we preach Christ and Him crucified? Then the Lord will do His own gracious work in His own sovereign way, glorifying His name, building His church, extending His kingdom. And then the outcome of it all is seen here in this vision that was given to John by the Lord, the vast company of people. Isn't that a challenge to us to press on and to continue on and to labor on, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord? I think that these words that we have just so briefly touched upon and so briefly considered are a great encouragement to us to continue on in the work, despite sometimes the disappointments that we meet with. Nevertheless, the Lord is upon the throne, building His church, and He will fulfill the promise that He has made in His word. And that brings me now to just speak to you a little upon the work of Let the Bible Speak. As many of you, if not all of you, will know, that we have just completed 50 years of letting the Bible speak over the airwaves. The 50 years of gospel ministry has concluded. It's a milestone, yes, and when you reach a milestone, very often you think that's a good time at least to reflect, to engage in even a brief period of reflection over the past. And as I do that for just a few moments with you, there is much to thank the Lord for, to praise the Lord for, to give the Lord all the glory for, because whatever has been done, whatever has been accomplished in these past 50 years, it's the Lord who has done it. It's what the Lord has wrought. And I think we can see that very, very evidently when we consider that when it first commenced, it was just going out, the programs were just going out on one station in the Isle of Man. And Let the Bible Speak had, I think, one tape recorder, I'm told, and one microphone, and that was about all of the equipment that LTBS possessed at that time. And then contrast that with the end of the 50 years where the Lord has been pleased to give the increase. And he has given the increase to the glory of his own name. And we often, or at least I do, think of those words, little is much. Little is much when the Lord is in it. And from those small beginnings, those early beginnings, the work grew and the Lord gave the increase and his blessing rested upon it. From that one station in the Isle of Man, then the doors opened in North America, and then from the doors opening there in North America, in the States and in Canada, there was a door, a great door in fact, that opened in the Indian subcontinent in Radio Sri Lanka on a shortwave station there, and that was a station as the word went over the airwaves that over the years, the many years that we were on that station, really bore much fruit in the salvation of many souls and in the encouragement of the lives of many of the Lord's dear people. Many, many were the letters that came from those in India writing, telling of the blessing that they had received as the Bible was being preached, as Christ was being uplifted and exalted. And I can't mention India and leave out Nepal. Now, I know that came a little later chronologically, but nevertheless, it was a great door and effectual that opened in Nepal. And I well recall after one presbytery meeting that we had here in Belfast, when the late Reverend Wesley Graham came to me and said, would you ever think of broadcasting in Nepal? And I had to say, no, I've never considered it, never thought of it. But I said, I will. And then subsequent to that, I made contact with him, and he in turn made contact with the Reverend Paul Thapa, who in turn made contact with a radio station, and they were willing to give us just one slot for a specific period of time. And we thought this is a door that may be opening for us. And it did open, because after that period of time had ended, I thought, well, what will happen now? Will they extend it, or will they just say, well, nice to have had you, thank you very much, but the slot is closed? No, that wasn't the case. They wanted us to continue, and then our brother in Nepal, he began contacting other stations, and so the work there grew and grew and grew. And while we weren't receiving responses directly here from people in Nepal by way of letters that they were writing, even if they had written them, we couldn't have been able to read them, because I'm afraid I couldn't know any words in the Nepali language. But they were listening to the broadcast, they were making contact with the Reverend Thapa, and in the early stages per month there were sometimes several hundred contacts being made, so much so that the Reverend Thapa was unable to keep up with that, and it was necessary then for what I call some field laborers or some field workers to go out to these villages where the contact details were to hand from having written into the station. And they could go out and in a personal way meet with the people and speak to them about the things of the Lord. And we had Dr. Cairns's little booklet, That Christ is the Answer. Then it was called A New Beginning. We had that translated into Nepali, and they were able to take copies of that with them. And it resulted in many, many souls coming to the Lord, and many small congregations being formed that now constitute the Free Presbyterian Church of Nepal. And I tell you that simply to let you see how that the Lord moved, how that the Lord worked, and how that the Lord used his own word as it was preached over there. We have just simply, plainly letting the Bible speak. The Lord blessed that in a mighty way and continues to do so. And I'll not go into the details. There'll be reference to it on the video that you'll see. But it has been for quite some time the desire of the Reverend Thapa that there would be a station that would be really devoted to the Word, to preaching the Word and proclaiming the Gospel. And you may recall that some time ago we made an appeal throughout our congregations to raise some £30,000 for expenditure to buy all of the necessary equipment, etc. That target was reached by, I suppose, within maybe about 3 months or so, because we had such a good response from our various congregations. And the outcome of it is that there now is a station called Word FM, and it's broadcasting in Nepali. Of course, we're maintaining the station, and we're paying for all of the expenditure that is necessary in the running of a station. There's certain regulations that have to be followed, and they're complying with those regulations, but that station is on air now quite a number of hours each day, each week, and is proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then from radio, we branched into television, and we had really our first, I'll call them pioneer television programs really here in this very building. I think we had six or so recorded here, and we were so grateful to Martyrs, to the folks here, for allowing us that facility just to get those pioneer programs together. And that led on eventually to us getting a temporary home, I could say, in our Lurgan congregation. They opened up the Sabbath School complex to us. As you know, you've been there, many of you, visited for the recordings. And really, we've had access to all of the facilities there. It's been tremendous. But we felt it would be good if we could have a more permanent home. And that has come in the Lord's way and in the Lord's time. You may be aware that LTBS has made purchase of a property in a Hochel. And you might say, well, why did you go to a Hochel? Well, I have to say that a Hochel was never initially on our radar. We had thought, well, maybe somewhere around the Craigavon area, that might be the place, and there were many places that were considered, but none of them really were suitable. And then one of our committee members happened to see this property in a Hochel. He had gone to see it and thought that it might be suitable, and then all of the committee went and had a look it over, and the outcome was that we felt that the Lord was leading in that direction. So we did have the finances necessary, and there's a story behind that as well, and I only say this briefly just to let you see what the Lord was doing in preparation, unknown to us. Because many, many years ago, we did have a very large legacy left to Let the Bible Speak. Actually, it was the result of a man whom I have never met, didn't know, but he left 51% of his estate to Let the Bible Speak. And that was something that enabled us then to have the finance to purchase all of the equipment for the television ministry. And then another large legacy was left to us, which enabled us to have the finance available to purchase the property in Ahakal. And so it's been amazing to see how that the Lord prepared the way in all those different areas, and it was that we might be where we are now. And we're having to refurbish some of the property. Yes, that's ongoing as I speak. And by the end of this year, the Lord willing, then we hopefully will be able to move all of our equipment to that property in Ahakal. It will become known, I think, as the Let the Bible Speak Center, or the LTBS Center. Then we have the other areas that the work branched out into, our magazine, our quarterly magazine, the printed page. We felt that was necessary to send out to our listeners, to our radio listeners, and of course copies go around to our congregations here. And then there was the further development of what I have called, because it is that, an on-the-street witness in our various shops. And this has proved to be so advantageous when it comes to personal witnessing. Because what we have discovered is that many people come in, and while they have not come in initially to talk about spiritual things, they of themselves have maybe made a comment or used some expression that some of the folks there can pick up on, and then a conversation develops. And the Lord has been pleased, at least in two or three individuals, where they became so concerned about their soul and eventually saw their need of salvation and came to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. Of course, we have all of the literature there, and they're able to take that, and it's free of charge. And that was another door that opened for us. So we can reflect on all of that, but also in this milestone, yes, there is the reflection, but there's also got to be a recognition. And the recognition surely is that there's still much land to be possessed. There's still much work to be done. There is a multitude of souls still to be reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the gospel of saving grace. And we're thinking, well, what other ways can we reach out with the gospel message? Radio, television, the magazine, the on-the-street witness. We are now looking seriously at getting on to social media with podcasts. This is in the very early stages of development, but it's something that we feel that we need to work on. And if the door opens up for us in the way that we hope that it will, then we want to establish a witness there for Christ in that way. This is very much the digital age, isn't it? And therefore, it's good if we can utilize that for the preaching of Christ, for the spread of the gospel, for simply letting the Bible speak. And we've got to also have something else resolved to continue on. And a resolve is good, but in and of itself, it doesn't really have much strength. We need the Lord to give us the strength. We need the Lord to give us the power. Because the word can be preached, yes, but we need the power of God on that word to make that word effectual to the hearts of men and women, sinners lost in their sin, going out to a lost eternity, and we need to reach out in every way possible with the message of the gospel to their hearts. I want to say a word of thanks and appreciation to the congregation here in Martyrs for your interest in the work, for your support of the work, prayerfully and also financially. I say for the encouragement of your minister that he gives to us. I know he's one of many of our brethren who come to preach for us, And if it wasn't for my colleagues in the ministry coming certainly to do the television programs with the preaching, then I certainly, for one, wouldn't be able to sustain that amount of preaching and preparation. When you've got the ability Dr. Brown has here, that's maybe not too much of a problem. But for a lesser mortal such as I am, then I think I would struggle quite a bit to do that. But I am so thankful to him and so grateful to all of my brethren for the help that they give and the support that they give, so that we can continue just letting the Bible speak. So I say thank you for your support, and I ask you to continue to pray for doors to open, continue to pray for the Lord's blessing upon the word as it goes forth over the airwaves, because there are people listening in, and we don't know their situation, we don't know their circumstances, but the Lord in his sovereignty can have that word, just that word in season, that meets their need just at that particular time that they're tuning in. They might be listening in their own living room. They might be listening on a car radio. They might be listening on their phone, whatever. And we want to get the word out in every way that we can. So I do thank you sincerely. And while, as I said, I didn't expect to be here this evening, now that I am, it's good to be able to just say that personally to you. It's not something that we take for granted, thinking it will be there. I've said before, I think I said it in our presbytery, that if it were not for the help and the support that we receive from all of our congregations, then the work of Let the Bible Speak would not be able to continue. So I thank you in the Lord's great name.